Live streaming at 991fmtalk.com.
The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
Hey, good morning, Nevadans. Fine week, wasn't it? I'm John Potter. Taking calls in the order they come in from Carson City is Ace producer Phil Galbraith. Hey, good morning, Phil.
Good morning. How the heck are you?
Lines are open, huh?
They are.
All right. Awesome. Today, well, of course, it's all live and local every Saturday, 9 to noon. Today, I'll welcome any topic where I don't have to talk about people get in town getting robbed, assaulted, or killed. Two dead in a gang shooting at UNR. What? Yeah, another bad week there. But this local show is the alternative to that. It's a break from that and not totally politics-based, but we'll get into that too because, you know, politics affects our lives, unfortunately. Things going on, Phil. Have you seen Oppenheimer in the theaters?
I have not only seen Oppenheimer, I have seen Barbie. I saw them both the day they came out.
Oh, you saw both? Okay.
I did.
I want to see Oppenheimer.
I recommend it. It's a good movie. A little slow at times. It's a long movie. It's 3 hours, but it's worth your time.
Speaking of 3 hours, I have a great fear of sitting for 3 hours without having to pee. I think because I think, and this is what I do, I know this urge will come up after 2 hours and I'll resist it and I'll end up getting preoccupied with the fact that I have to go, and it just kind of ruins the movie for me. But going up to go, it's uncanny. You miss the best part.
intermission.
What I hear when I get back.
An intermission in a movie would be very helpful. And when it gets to the baby that length.
Oh, I know. What happened to intermissions? They want to cram as many showings as they can, you know, to get the ticket income. That's the deal. Don't worry, the intermissions be nice. I think the last intermission I saw was Troy with Brad Pitt. I think that was the last one.
I didn't see Troy, but they had one for Titanic when I went and saw that 4 times.
Titanic had it too. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Okay, so let's see here. The Mega Millions, no winner. $1.55 billion in Mega Millions, no winner. Last night, yesterday, so the next drawing is Tuesday night. Wow. 1.55 million deserves to be
billion.
Read. Billion. I'm sorry. I see, my mind can't handle it, you see. And we also, folks, have hot August nights going on now.
Do we ever?
Yeah. Did you go yet to get the memories going?
Yeah, I hate to say it, but no, I haven't. My plan is to go this evening. I've been working and doing other things around home this week.
It's a thing locals go to, but it's a thing that super locals, they're like above it, you know.
Yes.
It's like tourist stuff. No, it isn't. I mean, I took the stroll downtown yesterday morning, and I got to say, it is so cool. Seeing guys hanging out with each other, looking at engines and talking man talk to each other about fuel injection and power underneath a hood. A lot of male bonding that I saw there yesterday. Some owners, I like how they really dress up their cars. You know, one had a Chucky doll sitting behind the steering wheel downtown. I saw all the cars I owned. 64 T-Bird, then my 73 Mustang, and then my Chevy Caprice convertible. Mm-hmm. I did not see my 83 Datsun 300ZX because the cars, they have to be 1979 or older.
Oh, is it 79 now?
Yeah, 79. They really should move it up a little bit more, I think, because, my gosh, we're talking 50 years ago.
Yeah.
These cars.
And let's face it, there are some cars from the 80s that should be classics. The Citation comes to mind, those that still exist, because it was a great car, except, you know, for the mechanics.
It was not a great car. You're talking about the Cadillac, the mini Cadillac car?
Oh, the Cimarron?
Oh, that was the Cimarron. See, yeah. I'm talking with a pro here, folks. I saw the Falcon that my mom drove.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That was there.
Those were darn good cars. Ford built on that platform for 30 years. If you see a Fairmont, think of a Falcon because of the same thing.
Yeah, you told me before we went on the air that the Mustang
is a glorified Falcon, and I stand by that.
It's a Falcon with lipstick on its pig, but that's not how I felt when the Mustang came out. I was in love with that car.
Oh, absolutely. It's brilliant marketing. The Falcon's for Grandpa, but the Mustang, same car, is for you.
My bedroom had the newspaper car dealer ads, the black and white ads for the Mustang. I love mm-hmm. that car so much. My parents did get me a little gas-powered Mustang that was like 2 feet, you know, long and everything. But I had no idea back then that that was just a Falcon with a different style body on it.
Yeah, the Falcon chassis, they put a lot of vehicles on. The Ford Econoline van from the 60s was on a Falcon frame. Same thing with the Mercury Comet. It was all on the Falcon frame, and they just made it fancy because that was a cheap thing for Lee Iacocca to do, was just put a fancy and a good-looking, I'm not saying they're ugly, a good-looking body on a Falcon and sell it to kids.
This is all heresy for the classic car fans that are here. Let's not break hearts here. But what I did notice yesterday, and you never noticed it back then, because the style changes were really gradual with cars back in the day, but mm-hmm. oh my gosh, Phil, how the big three automakers ruined their coolest cars by making them bigger and making them boring. I saw this big Ford sedan. It was parked in front of the Eldorado. Big Ford sedan, real long.
What kind of sedan do you know?
Oh, well, here's the deal. It was real long. I didn't really know what it was. It was real long, super wide. I thought, is that a Torino? Is that a Galaxy? It looked like this full-size big Mercury, and I walked up to the grill, and I said, oh, my God, is that a Cougar? They did that to the Cougar.
Yes, they did.
They did. I couldn't believe it. Why did they do this? This was my dream car as a boy, and they ruined it. They really did.
Well, safety, emissions, and gas prices were a real kick in the teeth to all the American car makers back in the 70s.
1972, I remember clearly, suddenly overnight, the 400 CCU engines, they replaced them with 260 CCU engines. Overnight. And suddenly we had these underpowered Thunderbirds. 72. Yeah, I remember that when I graduated from college.
I mean, what's more fun to drive than a V6 Trans Am? I mean, come on.
I'd like to see more cars that are rare. Like, where are the Ramblers?
Yeah.
It does seem like it's 50% Mustangs out there. But the oddball cars, even the Cadillac Cimarron, I'd like to see. But
something you don't see, maybe I'm missing it, but something you don't see in old car events like Hot August Nights, and there are others, they just stink, is you don't see a lot of old Chrysler products. That's what I've seen. You don't see a whole lot of old Dodges or Plymouths. I don't know why.
I think, well, it was always like number three. Not as many people bought them. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a longevity issue. I think they were built quality cars. As a matter of fact, it's funny you bring this up. I was just looking online yesterday, and I Googled what was the most reliable car in 1972, because Consumers Reports was around back then. And they did these surveys, and they studied these cars. The most reliable cars, even in 72, were mainly all foreign cars. They were the Mercedes.
I was
Mercedes.
Going to guess the Toyota Corona.
Yes, there were Toyotas. Mm-hmm. There were Datsuns, the VW Beetle, mm-hmm. Reliable, and the most reliable American car in 1972, the Dodge Dart, according to Consumers mm-hmm. Reports. So
my dad had a 72 Toyota, bought it brand new off the lot when we were living in Ukiah, California. I was like three. And he drove that thing until I was 14 years old. He drove the heck out of it. He pulled a trailer behind that thing with motorcycles and camping gear on it, more than it was ever designed to do. And it never let him down. The transmission started to slip when it was really old, but that's why he sold it. But good grief, was that a workhorse of a car.
Well, back then, driving the heck out of it was really 40,000 miles. I mean, cars are the one thing you can point to and say they build them to last longer than ever. It's not unusual to have a car go 150,000, 200,000 miles. That's the one product. Everything else, like kitchen appliances, I swear, I'm not paranoid, but I think they are manufacturing them to last until that guarantee runs out. They seem to last a shorter period of time, but cars, no, credit to the car makers. They make them longer. And then that, you know, the reason why, they got all the competition. There are more car makers now. Yeah. More types of cars and designs. It's phenomenal. It's really fascinating in this country. You can look out on the highway and see that every American wanted a vehicle that did not look anything like the other American's vehicle. It literally 400 types of cars if you look on the highway.
But this was back in an era when cars were cheap enough for you to be able to pick and choose like that. Now you just get what your credit will qualify you for.
Right. Right. So what did you drive? What was your first car?
Mine
was mom's hand-me-down. I loved it very much. It was a 64 T-Bird. And the inside, I drove it to high school. The inside looked like an old lady's car because they had the curved couch in the back, and and boy, that thing felt like it weighed 3 tons.
It probably
really
did.
Took a while to get up to speed, even though it was initially supposed to be a sports car. It wasn't anything near.
But if anybody hit you, they'd bounce off.
That's true.
Yeah. My first car was a 1973 Chevrolet Nova.
Saw it yesterday.
Had the straight 250 straight six engine and a 2-speed automatic transmission.
And every time you bring up these cars, folks, if only I had kept it.
Somebody asked
me once, which of your old cars would you have kept? And I couldn't do it. There are four of them that I would have liked to kept. That's a good phone topic. We are expecting a guest, but in the meantime, call it. What was your first car? Why was it so great? What is the car you wish you still had? What made it amazing? What was the biggest lemon you ever had? The car people listening will love this, visiting from everywhere for Hot August Nights.
884-9910.
We're going to keep you busy today, Phil.
Okay.
All right. Otherwise, we're going to talk about changes at Costco. See, the reason I bring up Costco is it never fails. People love to call up and talk about Costco. And the deal is that I have here is that I get this huge performance bonus for every call that comes into this show, which helps me pay for my obvious need of therapy. And the Bentley that's parked outside. 884-9910. I'm John Potter. This is all live and local. It's for you. We talk about good stuff. 884-9910 on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. We're going to be right back. FM News Talk time is 9:19.
Audience participation suggested. KKFT is Nevada's Fox News FM Talk station. 99.1
and 92.3 FM.
Hello, it's 9:22. I'm John Potter, all live and local at 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Phil, I see the phone's ringing. What are those callers we're getting? Hello,
hold on,
Phil?
I'm on the phone.
Yeah, who's calling? Because I've seen you go through like 8 calls here. You want to put him on hold, my friend? Hello? Okay. Breakdown. What we got here is a failure to communicate. Hey, Phil, you there?
Yeah, I'm right here. I was screening the call.
Oh, Phil, I just saw you got like 8 or 9 calls there. What were those?
Most people were telling me the vehicles they had but didn't have time to go on the air.
Oh, my gosh. That's a darn shame. Well, if somebody does have time, let me know, okay?
Well, let me encourage Mark to call back because I accidentally hung up on him.
Okay. All right. We'll talk to Scott here. But in the meantime, folks, 884-9910 is our number. And yeah, if anybody can talk to us, sure. One of my favorite topics. Hey, Scott, Edward, how you doing?
Doing really well.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, thanks for coming by. Scott is with Vitalant. It's called Vitalant Blood Service.
Used to be, you know, United Blood Services for years. So
still I was going to ask you, yeah.
Many of the same team members. I was with United Blood Services for, 13 years before we changed the name.
One of the nation's largest nonprofit blood healthcare organizations. You are nationwide.
Yeah.
Craig and I were talking about this last Saturday. Do we not call it the blood bank anymore?
Well, I mean, that is kind of an older term. I mean, that term came from the 70s when people actually used to store their blood and for themselves, or they would work as organizations to have credits that they would help each other out. But since then, it's changed dramatically since the 90s, and that's when I started.
What would you call it then?
Oh, boy. You know, it was the bank is the word, so blood centers. You know, I always referred it as transfusion medicine industry now. I used to call it blood bank industry because it's you know, it's medical. There is a business side, you know, just to be transparent. I mean, and you got to survive. Yeah. And, you know, we're doing something really important. We're trying to get, you know, blood provided and moved around safely and predictably to doctors so they can transfuse. And that's life-saving. Basically, it's regulated like it's a medicine.
It's called blood service. There is service involved. You are nonprofit, though, right?
Yeah,
you're nonprofit, but there's a business side to it. I mean, obviously, you need the cash to hire people and process all this stuff.
Super expensive. Move things around. Blood expires if we don't handle it right. And so we have a lot of responsibility behind the scenes.
All right, you have this huge blood drive coming up. So let's get to that. But first, now we got a call from Mark. By the way, Scott, first car, what was it? What would you have?
Well, the first one I bought was a black Saturn.
Oh, you kids.
I knew you were going to react like that.
Oh, my gosh. That makes me feel so old. Now, let's go to the phones. Mark is calling at 884-9910. Hey, Mark, welcome. Fun topic today. What was your first car? What made it so great?
Well, the first car I drove, I learned to drive in, was the 65 Chrysler Crown Imperial.
Wow.
That was a big car.
That's like a limousine car, huh?
Yeah. But the car that I still have, actually, I haven't got it restored. It's beyond my time and finances right now. My daughter can have it. The 1972 401 Javelin AMX.
The
I think
AMC.
They made like 4,500. Oh,
I totally forgot about AMC and the Javelin.
Yeah.
They did make some pretty funny looking cars, though, you got to admit.
Yeah, the Pacer was one of those.
Yeah, I don't know.
It really was.
George Romney was on, but remember that Gremlin? Oh, my goodness. But you actually drove to school with a big, huge Chrysler Imperial.
Yes, I did. Went out on my junior prom with it.
All right. Drive proud, my man. And what are you driving now?
Right now, I'm in my Chevy Colorado.
Oh, that's just not the same.
Oh, I know it's not. I mean, in the old days, though, August nights, we used to park across the street from UNR in the pickup truck and just sit in the back, watch as the cars drove by, and then watch as they drove by again, and watch as they drove by again. It was a lot more fun back then.
You know where I used to take my car, you know, and not only the cruises on Virginia, starting at Mayfair Market and going down south and then up north and driving people crazy. Yeah. I was a little too impatient for that. I would like to go. I used to go out to the airport. Back then, you could park your car right alongside the landing strip. And no gates, no fences, no nothing. You pull off right off Rock Boulevard and park the front of your car. Or we'd back in. We'd back in a pickup truck, and the truck bed would be basically touching that landing strip, and you lie back on that pickup truck with your date, and I could swear I could see the pilots waving. Can't get anywhere near the airport right now. You know.
No, they used to have little covered awnings and picnic tables there you could sit at.
Ah, the days. All right, old man.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling. I got to talk to the guy whose first car was a Saturn. All right, we're going to talk about the great blood drive coming up at Carson Valley Inn coming up next. Our phone number, 884-9910. And Phil, doing a great job taking your calls and putting them on hold. A little nostalgia in the morning, good memories, fun times, all live and local. I'm John Potter, 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time. We're going to break for Fox News, 9:30. We'll be right back.
Fox News and live FM Talk Radio. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. And live right now with your calls.
The Weekend on News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
Hi, folks. John Potter here. Phone number 884-9910. Talking first cars. Let's go to Manny. Manny calling in. Hey, Manny. Welcome to Live and Local every Saturday. Hi, Manny. How's it going?
Oh, good, good. Yeah, I told your call screen, and my first car was a 68 Pontiac Catalina.
I'm trying to picture that. Yeah, I don't quite remember the Catalina, but it sounds classy, my man. High five.
Yeah. Well, it kind of, you remember it had it kind of had a nose like a bird, you know?
We had some funny noses back then, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah. But so, the main thing, the story behind it was, I was there when my dad bought it brand new in 1968, and then he sold it to me 10 years later when I graduated high school. $500.
Yeah, I think that was the thing that, see, my mom passed, my mom didn't charge me, you see, dads do. Moms don't. Mom handed me the 64 T-Bird, and I got the 73 Mustang Lemon when my parents were through with it. Did you like the Catalina?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was great for carload night at the drive-in.
All right, my man. Take care. Classy dude, that Manny. First car, a Catalina. All right, great blood drive coming up. Carson Valley Inn. It's called Battle of the Badges Blood Drive. And here for Vitalant is Scott Edward. This is, looks like, from the flyer, a big event. Why do you need to have this huge event at the Carson Valley Inn coming up on the 17th?
Yeah, it's a program that we're doing throughout communities all around northern Nevada. And basically, community blood drives are kind of rescuing us right now. A lot of the businesses have shifted. So years ago we started this program where we did these blood drives to kind of so people could dedicate their donation to first responders. And you know, in other parts of the state, this program is called Guns and Hoses, but we wanted to, you know, include all different types of first responders. So here it kind of morphed into Battle of the Badges. And so we have a fun T-shirt, but we collect about 1,700 pints of blood throughout the summer. You know, we just had a big one up in Elko. Fallon had a great, successful blood drive. And then
this is a noble thing for first responders, but you really don't set aside the blood for
them. It's a kind of a conceptual thing.
So everybody benefits if you receive a lot of them.
Yeah, yeah. So what it is we have a series of them, and many of them in August. And then we expanded at Carson Valley Inn August 17th, and just kind of highlighting the summer need. And, you know, what we do is people can kind of vote. I said dedicate, but, you know, vote, you know, with when you donate, pick up the shirt. And then sometimes depending on the region you're in, some of these areas really get into it. Here in Reno and Sparks, they have some right after this. We'll be at the end of August.
You got to do these.
Aces Field, yeah.
I was thinking as I was biking over to work today, we have not really come back from the lockdowns. We really haven't.
No, those impact.
And I'm thinking of you guys. You, during the lockdowns, you couldn't do this Zoom. You were so dependent on people walking in through the door. And people were so medical health conscious because of the media scare over COVID. And so we got to get the traffic in your facility back up. Did it ever fully come back?
So we got a lot of help, especially here in Northern Nevada. People were great. They came to our three centers, and but now that when lockdown ended, things normalized. Everybody got busy. They're traveling. Mm-hmm. And then we were putting the shift back in our community blood drives. That's my responsibility to try to do these community blood drives. And the business structure changed. Different organizations that used to do blood drives can't, or they're smaller. And so the impact was big. So these community drives or creative partnerships or fun things where we reach out to the community, you know, we've been having a pretty good bounce back summer. We're collecting about, so far maybe 700 more units this summer than last summer. So we're making progress. It's nowhere near where we were to 2019. I think my team's collecting about 4,000 less units a year in the community than we did in 2019.
What blood types are in the biggest demand for donations now?
Well, currently...
My blood type is AB caffeinated.
AB caffeinated. Well, the plasma we were talking about earlier would be great. But all blood types are needed.
You take plasma, too.
Yeah, and we do some special plasma draws at our mobiles, or and particularly at our centers where we do all the specialty collections, which are needed for different patients.
And one reason you need donors constantly is the platelets. They have like this short, like 5-day shelf life.
Yeah, platelets, we only have 5 days. That's a special program.
And haven't improved that with technology or anything. That's just the way it is.
That's just because it's, you know, biomedical transfusion. We have to, you know, there's only a certain way we can store it. If we store it too long, it becomes risky for getting bacteria. And then we end up being more harmful than helpful. And then plasma can be frozen for a year. And then the red stuff, red cells that people think of, we got about 40 days to use that, but it's usually used way before that.
When is somebody going to come up with a way to donate fat? Come on, man. Come on. Nobody wants my fat.
You think with the Botox, it would be something like that, but you must get it from other places.
But, you know, in the past, we talk locally, we had the Red Cross. They would take donations. And then before that, before Vitalant, we had United Blood Services. And when I think back, you know, they always had that red fruit punch.
Oh.
And the little cups for the donors. Have you kept up that tradition?
Well, we have orange juice. I guess it's not punch. It's like a little healthier, technically. Cranberry. We got the cookies, got all of the snacks. Obviously, calories don't count the first hour after you donate blood. So,
is there something you should not ingest before you give blood?
Well, you definitely... Basically, don't fast. If you're going to give blood, don't fast. Make sure you have a good breakfast, well hydrated. I think hydration is the main thing that we're concerned about. So,
okay, blood drive, Carson Valley Inn. It's called Battle of the Badges. Blood drive. Why? Do you have certain departments battling each other?
So we've been doing this throughout the area, and so we expanded it to the community drive that we do at Carson Valley Inn, and so just an opportunity for people to kind of participate. Here in Reno, it's definitely very engaged between the fire department and the police department, and the sheriffs are really last year.
They're going to be there, huh?
Yeah, last year. For definitely, there's a number of them. The one we're highlighting is one of the first ones is Carson Valley Inn. So that's August 17th. I think it's from
10 in the morning.
10 to 4.
4 p.m. in Minden at the Bloodmobile at the Carson Valley Inn. All who give get this super cool, I got to describe this beautiful T-shirt. It is black with all the badges of all the law enforcement agencies, our local agencies.
It's a pretty cool design. Yeah,
it's a cool design.
New one each year. Yeah,
it says
yeah.
Battle of the Badges Blood Drive. It'd be so cool to wear that, walk around.
Yeah, we're doing
that. Oh, look at me.
That's one of our, each year we do it. We've been doing it for about 5 years. Like I said, it's started out 100 units in 1 year back in 2015, and now we're collecting 1,700 units. It's become incredibly important in the summer to raise awareness for the need for blood. And we like raising awareness on how important the first responders are for our community.
Oh, absolutely. Is this your slogan? Because of you, life
doesn't stop. Yeah, yeah.
Because of you, life doesn't stop. It's on your flyer.
Yeah.
That's your slogan?
That's Vitalant's overall slogan, you know, the perspective on the importance of blood donors. And just at the time when they came up with that slogan, it was just to remind everybody that how the critical role that people play in the health of our community.
I got an idea for a slogan.
Okay.
Just talking to you. Vitalant. Don't let mosquitoes get your blood first.
There we go. I did something about that up in Alaska when I live up there. Yeah. Yeah.
You did this in Alaska?
Yeah, in Alaska it was starve a mosquito, donate blood. That was a slogan that we had.
Great.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good.
I actually had a mug that we designed for that.
What was it like? I assume Anchorage, right?
Yeah, it was Anchorage.
What was it like living in Anchorage?
It was kind of a lot like living in Reno. It's one of the reasons I came to Reno. It's you got a big city, but you can disappear in the wilderness in about 30 minutes. And so
lots of trucks.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And obviously the mountains are more bigger there, and the winters are a little more crazier, and there's a couple of months out of the year where you barely see the sun. But
all right, God bless you, Scott. Scott Edward, Vitalant, they are a nonprofit. Yes, they take in some money here and there to keep the operation going.
Correct.
And they need these platelets in the blood, the plasma, the blood drive. Is Carson Valley in? It's coming up on Thursday. Is that this coming Thursday or the...
Next Thursday, the 17th, August 17th.
This coming. I have no idea with the calendar.
It's the 5th right now.
This is how I am.
We got 12 days.
You know why we're
testing me? I would doubt myself.
You know why we're like this? It's the smartphone. We can't even keep in our head where we are in the calendar. We're used to looking at the...
Not this coming Thursday, but next Thursday.
Okay, thank you. I never know
the 17th.
Where we are on the calendar. Okay, August 17th, the Thursday after this coming.
Yes.
At the Carson Valley Inn, 10 in the morning to 4 p.m. Get this super cool Badges black t-shirt for donating the Battle of the Badges blood drive, Carson Valley Inn, Thursday 17th. Honor talking to you, my friend.
Thank you for having me on a Saturday. I really appreciate it. It was great to be here. It's great to talk to you again.
Well, we'll have you back. Scott Edward, thank you so much. I'm John Potter. Phone lines are open. We can talk cars again or anything local that you want to bring up. I've been meaning to talk about the issues at the DMV for a long time. If you have any, I'd sure like to hear about them. I think everybody would. And do you happen to have an idea for a solution to the DMV and what their situation is? I'd be grateful if you call 884-9910, or we'll talk about cars too. I'm John Potter. We're going to be right back. 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 946.
99.1 KKFT.
This is what I think.
Talk that matters most. FM Talk 99.1
and 92.3 FM.
So my sixth grade teacher passed away a couple of days ago, Mr. Stevenson. First class of the early morning, we would come in, all us kids, still groggy. It was the first class of the early morning. We'd come in almost asleep, and all of a sudden, bang! He fired a starting pistol to get our attention. The class was very alert after that, and I bring this up because, well, he was a good man, but I bring this up because, boy, I thought to myself, this is just another thing a teacher cannot dream of doing in today's enlightened times, right? Okay, let's go to the phones, 884-9910, talking first cars, a topic we started at 9 o'clock, and Ed has graciously decided to call in and tell us about his. Hey, Ed, welcome to the show.
Hey, my first car was a 58 MGA, and I had it towed home behind my dad's Willys panel Jeep because it wouldn't run. So my dad tore the engine down and put a new head on it because it had 8 major cracks in the head. And so I rebuilt it, and I loved it and hated it at the same time because it seemed like, as in a lot of British cars, you had to work on it all the time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They were notorious. I know. I had an MG Midget myself when I first moved to Reno. I had an MG. It's kind of a long story. I was doing a radio broadcast from a dealership. It was Pride Dodge. I don't know if folks remember Pride Dodge on Kitsky. But in 1978, I got so excited about their sale me talking about it on the radio that I bought two vehicles when I was there. I bought a Plymouth Voyager van. These were brand new vehicles. And a yellow MG Midget. And my friend, I know what you're talking about. I had to have that MG Midget towed everywhere. The British cars back then, notorious. I don't know how they got their vehicles moving during World War II if they came out with some of the stuff they did. But boy, I'll tell you what though, Ed, weren't they cool cars?
Oh, I loved it. My butt was 6 inches off the pavement, if you know what I'm saying. It was like driving a go-kart. The fact is, I loved it. I'd take it out on some back roads that were paved. I lived in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area. So I'd take it out and go for a drive, but it just wasn't freeway friendly.
Wasn't meant to be, my friend. Ed, I appreciate your call. Thanks for calling, sir. Oh, boy, do I have MG Midget stories. And keep in mind, again, this was a brand new vehicle. I remember one time driving out to Hoover Dam. And that MG Midget, the transmission, you know, the big long thing that connects the rear wheels to the engine. And you're going over the Hoover Dam, and the thing just fell off. And it had to be towed all the way back to Reno. And I think the reason it fell off is because it was in the service bay. Of course it was in the service bay, like a week before I took this trip. And they apparently put in a inefficient fastener on that, you know, the thingy that goes from the engine to the rear. Anyway, I finally had to sell that car, and it breaks my heart because it was so cool. It was only two seats. It was bright yellow, tooling around Reno in that, and that was something. So, yeah, we're talking old cars here for obvious reasons, welcoming all the classic car lovers and owners here in Reno for hot August nights. I bring up the DMV. I'm not sure I want to bring that up now because we already have our guest who's lined up for 10 o'clock and we wouldn't have enough time to talk about it. I will talk about things that I noticed at our local Costco. You know what? As I said, the phones go wild when I talk Costco because I get a massive performance bonus for every phone call I get on the air, which is good for me. But anyway, Costco, they are no longer individually wrapping the paper towel rolls in plastic inside their already wrapped in plastic 36 roll cases. You understand what I'm saying here? You buy the big case of Kirkwood paper towels, and inside that case, each towel, paper towel roll was individually wrapped in plastic. Well, no more, folks. That's if you haven't seen it now, you will soon. The paper towels in the big packages that fill your cart, the individual rolls inside are no longer being wrapped in plastic. They'll be naked. On the case itself, it says 50% less plastic. This is a nationwide thing I saw on the Costco Facebook page. So if it hasn't arrived here, it will. And I'll tell you what, people are up in arms about this online. They can't store the paper rolls right without the plastic cover. They can't protect them from the dust in the storage and on and on and on. The Kirkland sky is falling over this online. People do not like their Costco to change. You know, the self-checkout there had a slow rate of acceptance. It's okay, but it wants you to put all your Costco things on the shelf. There's also the news that Costco plans to replace the food sampler people with robots. Somebody told me, I don't belong, but Sam's Clubs, they say, already does this. They have a machine that dispenses the samples. What do you think of that? I mean, I like those things, but people do block the aisles for them. Some of these food samplers, it's fun to watch because it's like they're working in the manufacturing line sometimes. Reminds me of Lucille Ball at the chocolate factory when they move fast. And I tell you what, they must have heaven-sent patience. I bet the food sampler people have incredible stories to tell.
Can a sampler robot operate a electric skillet?
I don't know. I don't belong to Sam's Club. But this is what I hear, that they have the machine do it. If I was the food sampler, if I worked there, and I have thought of it, I'd be slapping hands. I'd be slapping hands, especially those kids. But what's funny, Phil, is as a customer, I try to be different. I actually feign interest in the food item I'm trying so as not to be like those hungry others. I say things like, where can I find this to buy?
No,
well, the boxes are right here, sir. Oh, okay. I'll be back to get it later.
I have to admit that those samples have suckered me in a time or two.
Oh, but they're delicious. They really are.
Oh, yeah.
And there is a way. I know people who say, oh, I'm going to Costco for lunch. And that's what they mean. Again, hadn't fully returned since the lockdown, because there used to be like 8 or 9 little food sampler stands. And now it's average 3 or so. And my gosh, Reno, when are you going to bring those chickens back? Sorry about that. Losing control here. I'm John Potter. Phone number 884-9910. We're all live and local every Saturday morning on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. We're going to break for Fox News, and we'll be right back. FM News Talk time, 9:58.